Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 331,
Dear God.
I think.
Jeez.
I'm starting to lose track here. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
You've gotten so old and gray.
Right?
We're a wrinkled body.
I am getting more and more gray.
Oh, no.
And Jeff is here as well.
What Jeff has on you.
Yeah, so we were, before we started this, we were kind of talking about Call of Duty, because Jeff and I are playing what might be the best Call of Duty game, in my opinion, at least since Black Ops 1.
I'd say it's better than that.
Maybe. I mean, I think Black Ops 1 was a really good Call of Duty campaign, so.
Sure.
Wait, Call of Duty? No, what game are you talking about?
Black Ops 1, Call of Duty, yeah. I thought it was a really good campaign.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, Modern Warfare was a great campaign. Even the second one.
I like Modern Warfare too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, man, yeah. Stand by for Titanfall, baby, because...
yeah, so Titanfall has a campaign this time around. Jeff and I both completed it. And I think we both played a good chunk of multiplayer as well.
Mm-hmm.
You finished the campaign already?
Yeah, it's not long.
Finished it before me.
Oh, how long is it?
5-6 hours.
Took me like, I want to say maybe 3 sittings, but it could have easily been done in 2, like 2 longer sessions, you know.
I think
it's great though.
It took me between 5 and 6 hours, so. Which is about the length of Call of Duty campaign at this point, so maybe a little bit shorter.
I think that the campaign has way more cool ideas in it than any Call of Duty campaign has had. I think, like,
sure,
it has a built-in advantage in that, like, Titanfall, you know, it feels like Call of Duty, but like it has that like robot layer on top of it. You get a giant-ass robot,
yeah,
which is like instantly awesome. And so, like. I don't know.
The campaign for this one, your generic shooty face is your character. He's zero, like, there's nothing going on there with him. But the real star of the campaign is your Titan, who this time around they have AI personalities.
Interesting.
That... So each Titan kind of is linked to the pilot. And in this one, you basically have Optimus Prime running around with you. That's very much what he sounded like to me. was like this kind of Transformer-y type voice.
And he always gives you this kind of like straight answer to whatever you say. Like,
yeah.
You'll say something hyperbolic and be like, well, no, actually, it's, you know, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, so that's one of the weird things that it has. There's, like, a dialogue system for some of the slow parts where you can talk with BT, who is your robot buddy, and kind of have a conversation. And sometimes it's, like, an either-or choice, and sometimes, like, both options are available to give you more of the dialogue. But, yeah, like, he is very dry. Like, he doesn't understand human banter, necessarily.
And, you know, his responses are, you know, from him, unintentionally funny. But,
right.
Obviously, they're written to be, you know, little jokes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you don't start out as a pilot. You start out as kind of like a pilot in training, but in a battle, you're very quickly thrust into the role of an acting pilot and linked to this Titan BT, and you go about doing like cool Titanfall shit, like wall running and double jumping and sliding and getting into Titans and blowing shit up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should say, like, the story is nothing to write home about. It's very generic. Like, it's like, just go save the universe type shit. But, like,
yeah,
man, like, the level design and just the creativeness of the campaign, it's well, something special. Like, it's cool.
So, I'm of, like, two minds of it. Like, I think any time when you're not shooting is fucking awesome. Like, anytime when you're just running and, like, figuring out the levels and not engaging with enemies, particularly non-Titan enemies, like, anytime you're dealing with grunts or specters, because the AI on them is terrible. They're just straight-up stupid.
Just like they were in the first
one. Yeah, just like they were in Titanfall 1, where... But, I mean, even there, like, you would occasionally get killed by, like, a grunt or a specter that maybe got, like, a lucky shot on you or something. Like, it was always, like, demoralizing when you were killed by AI. but in this, it's like they seem even dumber. Like,
I thought that, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I felt like I was always having fun during the action. Like, I enjoyed, like, this game has a bunch of boss fights. Like,
yeah,
I enjoyed, like, that.
When you're fighting the other Titans, I think it is, like, that stuff is really cool. And the boss fights themselves are, like, nice big arena areas where you're fighting another Titan that has very specific skills that you're trying to counteract. So I thought that stuff was really fun. But, like, anytime I was fighting, like, regular enemies, like, I was just like, this isn't, like, I don't... It's not that it's not fun. It's just, like, it wasn't challenging at all. Like, I am just...
Well, I'm fine with that. I suck at shooters. But... no, but I mean, I'm pretty much, I'm like 90% with you on all that. But, like, the highlight is, and I think we both agree on this, the highlight is when you're not fighting. And,
yeah.
But the great thing about it is the willingness of the campaign to do that over and over, like, with fresh ideas, where it's like you do a whole level where it's all about just, like, platforming via wall running. Like, they really make you fuck around with the wall running. There's an awesome level where you could press a button and time travel and use that to platform.
Which has, like, a story conceit, but yeah, like, you have to, so, like, you're in the present day, like, the building is kind of on fire and you know, but if you warp back into the past, like, the floor is still there, so you can, like, just walk across. Or you can, you know, run across a chasm and then pop it and, like, sneak behind enemies in the past and stuff. Like, it's a really cool mechanic that does some really neat things that it's like, why there's this time warp thing? Who cares? But
It doesn't matter. But very specifically in that level, I really love, like, there's, like, one part where you're just jumping between platforms. But you have to, like, jump in the air and then hit the time button to make the next platform appear.
It was like, so while you're in the air, played Mario Galaxy.
Yeah,
And that like specific one where it was bit and, like, sneak behind enemies in the past and stuff. Like, it's a really cool mechanic that does some really neat things. That it's like, why there's this time warp thing? Who cares? But
It doesn't matter. But very specifically in that level, I really love, like, there's, like, one part where you're just jumping between platforms, but you have to, like, jump in the air and then hit the time button to make the next platform appear.
It was like, so while you're in here, played Mario Galaxy.
Yeah,
And that like specific one where it was like, you know, like, you jump on a red one, and you have to jump on a blue one, like, and it was very much like that, where you just had to keep switching it because, you know, you would jump and, like, the other platform would disappear, but if you went into the past, it would be there. And very, very smart level design for that whole level.
And, like, I just loved it because, like, dude, there's been a lot for me this year. It's like a lot of big shooters ending the year, and then to have in this shooter campaign, tons of platforming, and like there's like one whole level where you're going through like this like factory type area, and it's really almost like a gigantic puzzle, and you're just like, that's awesome, like thank you for putting something smart in your like super like crazy fun shooter game, like, you know, like I don't know, I really appreciated that.
Oh yeah, like that stuff was great. Like it's a fun time. Like even the shooting of like the brain dead AI, it is fun. Like,
yeah,
it's a good time. And then anytime you're inside the Titan, it's a blast. And the boss battles, which I am generally not a fan of in shooters, but like because you're in the Titan and you're fighting other Titans, and they have different tactics because they're different types of Titans this time around, and they have different attacks, and I guess there's different cores. So each core has a set of moves that can go with it and an attack. So if you're using the Scorch one, like you have firepower basically. And, but then there's ones that have like the big 40 millimeter, you know, hand cannon that the Titan carries. Like, so there's different approaches and different reasons to use the cores, and the bosses that you're fighting generally like have different cores that you're using against. There's like one really cool one towards the end where you're fighting this flying Titan, and like you're kind of moving around on top of this ship as like it's being attacked, and it's just really, really fun to like go at these different Titans that way.
Yeah, and it's cool. Like, another cool thing about the campaign regarding that is usually after each big boss fight, you'll find a new Titan type, and that's kind of preparing you for like for when you get into the multiplayer, so you have some familiarity, because part of your loadout for the multiplayer is which Titan you want, you know. So having that kind of knowledge base of like, I know what the different ones do, lets you kind of, I don't know, just not go into the multiplayer blind, like knowing nothing. Like,
right. Yeah, you get to kind of like sample everything in the single player. So that if you don't jump straight into the multiplayer and you play this, it's a good primer for going into the multiplayer.
Yeah. I was very impressed. And yeah, I'm also equally impressed by, like, I forgot, because I never really got into the multiplayer from the first one. But, like, there's so many little touches in the multiplayer for Titanfall that, like, make it more appealing, I guess, to me. Like, just, there's two things that I love about the multiplayer in Titanfall that I'd forgotten about. One is, like, ejecting from your fucking
yes,
Titan. Like, oh my god, I love that. And I got the nuclear explosion perk attached, so, like, it'll just fucking annihilate people around me. Like, I just, like, it's just so cool, like, that visual of you flying, like, a couple hundred feet in the air as shit blows up below you. That's so awesome. And the other thing I really love is, like, no matter if you win or lose, like, there's, like, this, there's a gameplay, like, there's a little game after the match ends where it's, like, hey, try to get out of here. Yeah, yeah, the chopper that comes in, like, get the chopper. It's like, you're either trying to get to that thing to get out of the level alive, or you're trying
to destroy it, yeah.
So it's like, no matter how you did on the match, there's like another thing that you could get credit for, like, and you get XP off of that. Like,
when you play Call of Duty or Halo or anything, you know, any other kind of game based like that, that's based on score. Like when it's over, it just kind of ends. Like when Battlefield ends, like, you know, it just like everybody freezes and it just says victory or something. And this kind of like, there's a narrative to each multiplayer game because like you're either evacing or attempting to annihilate your enemies.
And it's like, even if you lose, you're like, okay, I can still try to get out of here alive, and you get XP for that. Like, so it's like
you get a full bar of XP too for doing it. So,
yeah,
like it's really smart. It's fun. I'm not in love with the maps that I've played so far.
I don't like the maps either.
Yeah,
first of all, don't have any maps where like you're inside of a fucking building with like roofs above you, because like, dude,
you can't call your titan.
This game is about dropping fucking titans from the goddamn sky.
Like, it's like there's one, and I've played on it a couple times where it's kind of like in a mall or something, and then there's only two outside areas, on either end, and the titans can walk inside, but they can't drop inside. So you have to, when you call it, you drop it outside, and I didn't realize that at first. So I got on my titan, and I dropped it in, and I had to like run 300 meters like, to go get it. Like, that worked out for me, because by the time I got there, I was playing Bounty Hunt, and it was at a location where the AI had spawned in, and you're supposed to clear out all the enemy there. And I was just able to run over them with my Titan.
In one match, I think you guys have talked about this before, but like I had never seen it happen or anything. Like one match, I called a Titan down and it landed on another Titan and killed him.
Oh, that's great.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, I just took a clip of that, of me doing that one today. That's still super satisfying.
So awesome. I didn't do it on purpose or anything. It just like I accidentally did it, and I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. Like, I don't know, that game, like, I suck at multiplayer shooters, and like I still feel like I suck when I'm playing it. Like, I'm basically good for killing grunts and
but you're contributing when you're killing grunts and specters, and when you're doing stuff like that, you're actually still contributing. So
yeah, I'm always doing something. I always feel like I'm having an effect, like even if it's just like grappling onto a Titan and fucking Titan up from on top of it, you know, like, you know, you don't need to be, you don't need super fast reflexes to do that. Like, it's just,
right.
And even if you just suck and you're not contributing at all, it's just so goddamn fun that it doesn't matter. Like, even losing is fun because you're like, all right, now I got to try to get out of here. Like, I don't know. They've really, like, struck on something with that formula.
Yeah. So even with the maps not being exceptionally great, the gameplay itself is still a ton of fun to play, and it doesn't really matter if the maps kind of are meh.
And we'll get new maps for free. So
yeah, that's cool. I am really looking forward to the first map they're bringing over is Angel City.
So bring the best map from the other game back.
Right, which is, it's a fantastic map from the original game, so that's coming back in. And there's some nice vertical areas there, lots of areas to wall run. And like it's just, yeah, it's an excellent map, so I'll be happy when that shows up. So that's Titanfall. It's really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Tony, you didn't get it?
Oh, I got it. It just, I didn't get it till Monday, so I haven't had a chance to actually play it yet.
You should play through a campaign, dude.
I will.
Pretty cool.
I understand why EA released it when they did, but I still kind of wish that it had released like in 4 or 5 months.
So you could be playing this and everybody would be playing this.
Right. Like, you know,
there's that. Yeah. Although here's the thing is like, I have Battlefield 1. I loved it. I don't think I'm in love with the online and I'm terrible at it, but like, I don't think I'm going to be touching Battlefield 1 for a while. Like, I'm really hooked in the Titanfall 2 multiplayer. It's got a good hook, too. There's a lot of, like, unlocks that you could get for your Titan and whatnot.
Right, like, there's tons of challenges, and, like, it's, you know, it has that Call of Duty progression. Very smartly done. It's in the middle. Like, I'm still playing a lot of Gears. I'm still playing Battlefield. Call of Duty comes out in a day. And I mean, I probably will still spend a lot of time with Titanfall, but I really kind of wish that it was like came out off on its own, not surrounded by all these other shooters, because it is the most low profile of the shooters that are coming out.
And it's probably like the best, honestly. Like, I think when all said and done, it's the one I'm gonna be playing like a month from now. Like, if I just want to play a shooter real quick, but yeah, it's just a shame.
Yeah, I see myself jumping into that over like Call of Duty and Battlefield. You can't jump in for a quick match. Like,
the worst thing about the game is that you have to sit down for like an hour.
Yeah.
There are no quick matches unless you're playing the War Pigeons mode.
Right. Like, but I mean, if you're playing Battlefield, like you should really be playing Conquest or Operations. And,
right.
Cause that's what that game is. Big sprawling combat. So, if you want to, and I like War Pigeons, I know you're not a fan, but you know, there's enough other games that have small scale combat. So like Titanfall works for that type of stuff. And Call of Duty works for that. And Gears works for that. Like I don't necessarily need to play a lot of War Pigeons.
It's just, I don't know. It's kind of sad to me that like, these are all really fantastic shooters. I would probably even include Gears as being pretty fantastic. And I'm assuming Call of Duty is going to be fun. Why do they all have to be like within the same month, dude?
Right.
Like,
it's nuts.
Give them some room to breathe because they're all good games that will get like even me, who I'm not a huge shooter fan, they would get decent playtime for me. But it's like now I'm like, I don't see myself playing a ton of Battlefield 1, and I'm probably gonna do the campaign in Call of Duty. I'm probably gonna do the zombies a little bit, and maybe play a little bit of online, and then I'll probably come back to Titanfall and. I don't know. I just feel like if they all had their own space, like I would play them all. Like,
right.
It sucks.
And I know why Battlefield did. I mean, I know why EA did what they did with Battlefield and Titanfall. But it's really like they. I really think they hurt Titanfall by doing it.
The thinking. All right, so the thinking that I've heard is that, okay, with those two games, they could kind of rival Call of Duty. Is that what you're saying or something else?
Yes, like they're giving two options to a Call of Duty game, which is the, on the surface, is like the weakest going in that Call of Duty's ever been. So they're hoping to kind of like give people an option of what to buy. Like you want the, you want the big sprawling tactical shooter. Like there's Battlefield. You want, you know, the twitchy Call of Duty type game from the guys that made the best Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Like this is it. So, I mean, and you know, Infinite Warfare is definitely, I mean, I'm still interested in it, and I know you are, but
yeah.
There's a lot of people that are very much like, I don't know about this one. Like, this might be the year that I'm out. Like,
well, and there's a lot of people with fatigue, and I've kind of cured myself of that. Like, I didn't get Black Ops 3 last year. I think there's, like, promising things about this one. Like, I think that the campaign might be pretty cool. And I forgot that, you know, like, one of the writers from Uncharted or something working on this, right? Yeah. So there's that. I like, you know, 80s zombies sounds cool, even though I've never been into zombies. I love the 80s aesthetic. So there's things about it going in where I'm like, yeah, people want to shit on this one, but honestly, it's probably one of the more interesting looking ones going in to me. Like, so I don't know. It's just they need, I don't need all these shooters on top of each other. But here's the other thing I was thinking about regarding Titanfall 2. I get that, like, people think that's what EA is doing, and maybe that's what they're trying to do. And a lot of people are saying, oh, it's going to have bad sales now, and that's the way it's looking. Like, Titanfall 2 is not going to sell great, right? But do you think that if Titanfall 2 comes out in February or March,
right?
Do you think that it sells more than it does coming out in fall?
This is the big question they always run into, because the game sales in the fall are always so much higher.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe EA feels like they don't have an option here either. They're like, maybe EA feels like they're giving Titanfall 2 its best chance, you know? They're like, hey, we're going to give them that primetime slot. We're going to give them that chance. And it's going to sell more there no matter what. Even with competition from another game that we're putting out, it's going to sell more in that time slot. You know what I mean? Like, maybe...
I mean, we don't have official numbers, and I don't know if we'll ever get official numbers, but... The unofficial numbers, and this is only coming out of the UK because I guess they do like weekly game sales or whatever. But Titanfall 2 was underperforming compared to Titanfall 1, and this is on two platforms. So, first week sales of Titanfall 2 in the UK. So who knows, you know, how much that means worldwide But Titanfall 2 sales are under what, you know, first week sales of Titanfall 1 were.
Yeah, but the other thing that cracks me up about it, though, is like, it's just projected to get, like, disappointing sales of 5-6 million. And it's like, dude, there's a lot of other games that are, like, successful that would love to get 5-6 million copies sold, you know, like.
Well, I'm not sure it's going to hit 5 or 6 million either, so.
Are they downcasting from that? Or
like, yeah, I think they EA had a I guess they had some sort of investor call this week, and they downgraded it to 3 to 4, which is still great.
All right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For 3 to 4 million copies sold to be a failure is like.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a failure either. I don't like you know, that's how people are spinning it, that it's a failure. But you know, if you were projecting to your investors that we were going to sell, you know, 6 million, and then all of a sudden you cut that by a third, like.
But it's just the 6+ million range. Anything above that is like, dude, that's pie in the sky, dude. You're chasing Call of Duty, which is like, for whatever reason, well, it is a good game.
Their thought was, you know, I think Titanfall 1 sold about 3 million on Xbox One and PC the first time around. And now adding in the PS4, which is right, you should be able to double because of the, you know, there's 40 some million PS4s out there.
Yeah. Plus install base of both consoles
has increased since Titanfall 1 came out. So
there's also more games to play since Titanfall 1 came
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
That was the first Xbox
that's where
game.
People like it was the first real big, you know, multiplayer Xbox One game. And it was like the big thing. Like that was one of the selling points at that time. It's always a weird thing kind of getting into speculative numbers with game sales. Like we don't know what they were going for. Like, we don't work for EA. Like we can speculate. Analysts can speculate all they want. They don't know either. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's Titanfall. It's fun. If you have an Xbox One or a PS4, maybe you should play it.
If you're a shooter fan and you're trying to juggle which game to get, like, we, you know, me and you have both played 2 out of the big 3 shooters coming out. Like, so far, like, if you put a gun to my head, I'd say Titanfall 2 over Battlefield. Like,
oh.
Yeah.
I like both a lot. I don't.
I do too. I thought the campaign, dude, they're different, and they are different feeling. Like,
yeah.
And I love the campaign in Battlefield 1. Like, I have lots of praise for that. But like, when it just comes down to it, Titanfall 2 is just fun. Like, it's just more fun.
It is. Like, I mean, I find Battlefield to be fun, but they're very different games, very different types of games. So
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what Call of Duty can do. So,
I'm hoping it's good.
Tony, you sat down and played some Civ, I hear.
Finally. I would say that, I don't know. I like it. It's sort of a slightly upgraded version of Civ 5. Like, it's not there. There are no huge changes to the formula here. It's like a lot of really small changes.
Okay.
Some of which, well, I mean, they'll change what you focus on while you're playing the game, but there's nothing you're going to be like, oh my God, this has changed the boundaries of civilization. How could they have done this with Heavenly Light and all that? There's nothing in the game that's like that. I guess the biggest thing they added to the game were the districts, which basically let you choose. So you guys know civilization, you have your city, and then around the city there's a bunch of tile.
Right.
So now you choose a tile, and that will be like your merchant district. And so all the buildings related to merchants will be on that tile and actually built there. So your city kind of, you can design how it looks as you build along, and as you build more buildings there, that tile will look better. And so your cities end up being really big and really sprawling, and not like this one one hex that kind of upgrades over time, which is pretty cool. The other thing that's cool about it is if you march through enemy territory, you can basically go through and like scorch that hex. You can't permanently destroy the improvements, but you can definitely fix it so they have to spend a lot of time rebuilding stuff. So I was playing as the Vikings, and the Vikings have this special ability where their ships can scorch like any land they're next to.
Right. So
I ended up like at war with like England and the United. They kept randomly declaring war on me. I have no idea why. Which I guess is another issue. An issue I found: the AI would declare war, have no actual method of waging that war, and watch as like my Viking longships would pillage their shores and destroy all their improvements and ruin their economy.
Yeah, that was something I've heard from multiple people about Civ 6, is that like the AI is really weird.
Yeah.
And, like, they'll do things like that, like declare war on you and not actually do anything.
they'll either not do anything, or they'll have their army in like terrible position when they declare war, so you just like wipe it out. The AI needs some work. It definitely needs some work. It reminds me a lot of actually out of the box Civ 5, where the AI was kind of toothless. Which kind of takes a lot of the challenge out of the game. In its place for challenge, the barbarians can be ridiculous in this game.
Okay.
I had one situation where I founded my city, and it was my first city, and I was immediately surrounded by 7 barbarian units. Like, they just appeared out of nowhere. And this was on, like, the standard barbarian setting. Like, it wasn't like I was flooding the world with barbarians within my game settings. Like, this, they just kind of appeared and overwhelmed me, which was annoying. I don't know. It's got some cool ideas. The research tree, now the stuff you actually do in the game affects your research. So, for example, if you're researching something like sailing, and you build a city on the shore, now researching sailing only takes half the time. So the things you actually do in the game affect what you're researching and how long it will take. There's some give and take there, whereas before it was just kind of, I'm going to research through this path, and no matter what I'm doing in the game, it just kind of happens. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, the AI being weak kind of, I won't say ruins it, because I do like playing it. It's kind of fun to expand and do all the Civ-like stuff. But it would be nice if it was more competitive. I have seen a lot of people playing it in multiplayer. I think that may have been a focus this time around. I actually saw someone formed a team, like an esports team of Civ players. That's how big it's gotten now.
Huh.
Yeah, but I expect this Civ game, much like its predecessor, to really reach its zenith after like an expansion or two. Like, it definitely needs some more work.
Yeah, that seems to be when they like make like they get the basics down, and then like, okay, these are things that people had a problem with. We'll fix those and add new things on. So,
yeah. I mean, it's still good. It's better than Beyond Earth was. Like, I actually enjoy playing this. So, there's that.
That's good.
The game is also very, very pretty. And not that graphically intensive at the same time. So, it's kind of, that's kind of cool. So, anybody can kind of get in there and experience that. But not Jeff, because he doesn't have a computer.
Definitely. Yeah, they have to get. I need a Civ Rev 2, baby.
They made a Civ Rev 2. You can play it on your phone.
Did they really?
Yep.
Oh, that doesn't count.
No, it's not my book. It's Civ Rev 2.
Technically, it's Civ Rev 2. It just isn't on consoles.
I need a new Civ Rev for consoles, because I like that game. Like, I don't feel like I totally grasped everything or was great at it, but I played through it. Like, I had fun with it.
Yeah, that was a nice intro to Civ. So,
yeah, it's like with the kiddie wheels version.
Yeah. And you played a bunch more Battlefield too, right, Tony?
I have. I'm having a lot of fun with Battlefield. Jeff is afraid.
Please tell me.
But I am. No. I have not touched the single player yet.
Come on, Tony.
It's You're not missing going out, anywhere. Dude.
We have game of the year duties.
I understand that. I'm fulfilling those duties by playing so much Battlefield. All the Battlefield that you can.
The multiplayer or the single player is good though, like really good.
And the multiplayer is absolutely a no.
Also good.
Did we talk about the weather effects last time?
I don't think we did.
Because no. I think they are outstanding. Like it and how they dynamically change during play. So it's not just like the sandstorm on the desert map. Like other maps, like get fog. So that you can barely see, like, you can see, like, 10, 15 feet in front of you, and you're like, what is on the other side? Then a bullet comes through and kills you. Or you do it to somebody.
I don't know. I still think best weather effects 2016 goes to Gears.
But well, I think what Tony's saying is, like, the weather effects in the multiplayer.
Like, in terms of how it helps, like, changes the map.
How it changes how the game is played. So, I mean, visually, they're great as well in both, but yeah, like the weather effects don't really play into the multiplayer or horde sections of Gears.
No, yeah.
Like some of them, the maps get filled with smoke, or there's fog, there's sandstorms. I'm missing something. There's another big one.
Yeah, I remember those sandstorms from. I actually played that in the beta and when I played the actual game, the sandstorm.
Yeah,
that
sometimes
one level.
It's really cool. You're like, okay, I'm sneaking towards this objective, and then the sandstorm ends, and you're like standing in the middle of a field. Fuck! And then you die. Let's see, what else? I also like that there are a lot of bunkers with locked doors now. You can lock and unlock the doors, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To isolate parts of the map and kind of give you that edge of knowing that nobody's coming at your backside.
Well, there's that which one is it? I think it's one of the Italy maps the Alps.
Yep.
Yeah. And like you can lock the door. Like there's actually a bunker that has like the anti-aircraft big ass gun in the middle on the turret, and you can lock both doors. It's really cool.
It's in the turret, and
yeah. It's nuts. There was a match that I was playing, and we had control of the turret, and we had locked the doors, and there was like seven of us in there shooting out through like the slots as the enemy like was converging on us, and they eventually did blow the doors off the one, but
yeah. And that's the other thing. So much of the maps are destructible. I've been playing a lot as an assault, and one of the assault unlocks is the anti-tank rocket.
Okay.
Which I occasionally use against tanks, but I found a lot more effective shooting at snipers in towers. I actually got a quad kill with one because I brought down the whole tower with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So there's so many. I mean, I've been killed by falling debris a bunch of times, but I feel like any building in any map is destructible, at least at some level.
You can definitely, you know, it's not like in Battlefield 4 where, you know, some of those high rises you were shooting and like nothing would happen to them. Like
right.
These buildings are. You may not be safe behind cover in them.
You're like, I have one where there's a grenade that lands next to the wall, so I take cover beside the wall, and the wall just falls on me.
Yeah, that game's great.
My poor corpse. I feel like I need to play so much more too. There's just so much to experience in Battlefield multiplayer.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. I've been trying to play a little bit. While also trying to fit in time for Titanfall and Gears.
It's so hard. I have Gears. I've played Horde a couple of times in Gears, and that's all I've played.
I played a little bit of Horde with Don today.
I told Don he's not allowed to send Gears back until we've all played Horde together. So.
Well, he's doing Extra Life on Saturday,
right.
And he plans on playing a lot of a lot of Horde and a lot of Battlefield.
Oh wait, shit! Are either you guys doing that this year?
I cannot do it this year. So, but I will jump on and play a bunch of Horde and Battlefield with Don. So
to keep him awake, especially at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And if we can get two other people, we could have a bunch of five, which is what you need for Horde. So
if you don't have five, you might as well just not play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you can do okay with four, but anything less than that is useless. And five is, you kind of want five people you know to play Horde with, because if you get that fourth, that fifth that's a random and they quit, or they spend your money ill-advised.
Right. Like, you want somebody you can at least, you know, hold accountable.
Right. Like, what are you doing? Don was spending, when we were playing, he was spending the money out of it, buying weapons out of the box.
Oh, no.
Which is fine. Like, I mean, we weren't seriously playing anything, so. But he was like, what do you think about this marksman rifle? I'm like, I like it, but I don't know if it makes sense for you to buy now, but well, I already did. Okay. It's all right. Another guy was, we had enough to buy a man turret, and he bought a auto turret instead.
Oh, no. Oh. Yeah. The auto turrets are okay, but the man turrets do so much more damage.
Yeah. Especially if you have, like when we were playing with Earl, and he was able to repair them and refill them as an engineer. They were brutal. Like, those things were really, we had two of them out and they were really destroying things.
Right.
So that was what Jeff, we got up to, I think we got up to level 40. We didn't 40. Finish 40.
We didn't beat 40.
Yeah. That's the highest you got now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That game's a lot of fun. And I went back and I played a little bit more Mafia 3.
And I'm selling that. I'm selling Mafia 3 tomorrow.
I'm playing through, like, it's very repetitive, so there's that. I don't hate it. Like, it's so samey, though, but when you do get to the points when you're taking down the lieutenants, after you finish getting the three districts, each of them has like an interesting level to go with it. So it's just getting there, and even setting up the rackets, like getting to each of the rackets, you have to go and like interrogate somebody and take out the enforcers and do enough damage to the racket before you can like go and get the boss to take down the racket. It's just like, I'm playing like a couple hours here and there, and I think that's the best way to go about that game, because if I sat down and played it for a few hours straight, like, I would probably just fall asleep, because it really seems like you're doing the same shit over and over again.
It's all side missions. It's just, that's how it feels. Like, fuck that game. I'm sorry. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell it tomorrow, and I'm going to get MLB The Show. I feel like that's a good call.
Because you're a baseball fan now because the Cubs won?
November.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. All right. Cubs have rekindled my love for the baseballs. And two, the show is like $20 now, the one from this year.
Right.
So, yeah. And three, most importantly, is like, I need more baseball. I need a game 8, a game 9, game 10. I need more games.
All right. Well, this just in, Polygon has given Infinite Warfare an 8.5, and GameSpot has given Infinite Warfare an 8. So, good scores.
Sure.
That kind of scares me, though, because when they give that game an 8, like, I think Call of Duty Ghosts got pretty good, like, right in that range, too, and that game fucking blew. Usually Call of Duty, if it's, like, adequate, it's, like, an 8.5 to a 9, you know?
Well, Polygon, which oddly was not reviewed by Arthur Giese, who normally reviews all their shooters, was reviewed by Rush Frushstick this time around. They said Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is one of the best campaigns the series has provided, with stellar writing and varied environments. So I'm at least, I mean, I was interested in it beforehand, so.
No time for just don't, Call of Duty. I can't do it.
And, I mean, I definitely can see where you're coming from. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jeff, you are spot on. They GameSpot did review Call of Duty Ghosts as an 8, so.
Yeah, and that game is not an 8, dude. That game is like a pitiful Call of Duty game. Like, at best, maybe 6.5, honestly. That game's terrible.
There were things about it I liked. Oddly, though, they also reviewed Advanced Warfare at an 8.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really honestly, good one. I think it could be my favorite. Like, if I want to play one right now, I'd go with it. But, yeah. All right.
I am guessing that Black Ops 3, they reviewed at a 7. So.
So it's better than the one that you hated from last year.
Yeah, so.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so Call of Duty is very soon. Moments away, I guess, from. Well, it's out, I guess, for people that are getting it digitally. I'm getting it physically because it's cheaper that way.
I'm going to get it emotionally.
I did get the mid-tier version, so I can get it with Call of Duty 4. So.
Yeah.
So I'm actually more interested in playing that multiplayer than I am Infinite Warfare's multiplayer. But
that'll be fun, man.
I don't know how much of that I'm going to play because I have Titanfall. So
that's the thing. What if you go back and play Call of Duty 4 and like all of it feels dated? Single player, multiplayer, all of it.
I am wondering because like I didn't play a lot of Call of Duty 4 multiplayer when it came out. So I don't know a lot of the maps. And the fact that it's not the speedy like run on walls and shit that new Call of Duty is, I wonder if maybe I'll get a little more play out of it than otherwise.
You think you'll get more play on it out of it because of that?
Yeah, because I didn't really play a whole bunch of it before, and it's more grounded. And I have like you know I have Titanfall as my speedy sci-fi shooter. I have Battlefield as my big expansive one. You know, maybe Call of Duty 4 Remastered is the more grounded shooter to have. I don't know.
But I worry that it's just gonna feel dated to me because of that. Like it's just gonna be like, all right. Like
I do remember people saying that the map design in that game was excellent though, so.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. Very quickly, so we're gonna wrap it up very shortly, but there was a big Animal Crossing update. For New Leaf, which is the 3DS Animal Crossing. I guess you can now use your amiibos in that game. And there's a bunch of new mini games and stuff. So that's kind of cool. Because that game is, what, 2 years old now, Jeff?
At least.
Yeah. So they're still kind of supporting that a lot. So that's neat. Unsurprisingly, EA has announced that DICE will be releasing Star Wars Battlefront 2 next year. So that seems to be the cycle that they're going to be going on. It's Battlefront, Battlefield, Battlefront, Battlefield.
Give me a campaign as good as Battlefield 1 in a Battlefront game. I'm in.
That would be cool, right? Like a story snippet, like a war stories from the Rebels.
Oh yeah, do the vignette thing too. Yeah. Oh my god, dude. Like, oh my god, would that be great?
Almost because I think I would prefer that as opposed to the, you know, you're the lone hero in the Star Wars universe. Because like no, like that hero is, you know, Luke Skywalker or Han Solo or whoever.
Yeah.
You know, give me that like this is from the perspective of the rebel soldier or from the imperial soldier. Like, give me those stories. That like a TIE fighter pilot, or I think that would be so cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. Do it right.
And speaking of Mafia, which we recently just talked about, Mafia 3 is 2K's fastest selling game ever. At least according to what they said. 2K as a publisher themselves, you know, they are part of Take-Two, which is also like Rockstar falls under Take-Two, but 2K is its own.
Doesn't 2K do like the basketball games and all that shit?
They do.
And so this is sold faster than NBA.
Yeah, well, it shipped more than 4.5 million copies during its first week.
They did market it well, I thought. But
and I guess Borderlands 2 is the publisher's highest selling game to date. So that sold 10 million copies. So if it does, I don't think it's going to hit 10 million.
No.
I think the word of mouth on Mafia 3 has kind of died off, and what word of mouth there is isn't necessarily great. So
don't do it.
But
save yourself.
Yeah, and Watch Dogs comes out, and that looks like it may be a better open world game than what Mafia 3 was. So still an Ubisoft game, though, so could be bad.
It could.
I'll be interested to hear what you guys think, because I'm not getting that game.
No, I'm not getting it either. I am sick of the whole Ubisoft shtick.
Open world, Steam. Yeah.
It's like, here's an open world with a boring character. We're going to put through some random story, and we're going to give you a bunch of stuff that's really not all that fun to do. Go.
Yep.
And I'll be playing it. If I'm playing Watch Dogs 2, I'm just going to be thinking, I want to play a new GTA. Or, you know, like.
I could see that. I am going to try Watch Dogs 2, but I'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
Well, two more things. Bastion is coming to Xbox One. And
backwards compatible?
No, but if you own it on the 360,
you
can get it for free. I guess you'll have to download it before January 1st from when it comes out. But yeah, you'll be able to get it for free. I guess it's coming out on December 12th, and you'll have until January 1st to snag it. So, that's kind of cool.
Cool, yeah.
And I guess finally, there's a Pokemon Go update that is coming. I don't know when it's coming, but they're kind of getting rid of like Pidgey and the Rattatas and the Zubats that were like all over the place. I guess they're cycling them in with some different
Pokemon you'd actually want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
And I guess they're moving the Eevee from a 10K egg to a 5K egg. Because I guess there were people that had 10K eggs and were hatching Eevees, which are pretty common.
Really disappointing.
They're super common because there's three different.
I already have all three.
Like evolutions, right? Yeah.
I would be like, and it takes a long time to get a 10K
egg. Yeah, 10K egg. Because, like, one, it doesn't seem to really register all your walking. Like, I don't know how it registers it. it's right. Wonky, but yeah. So I guess they're updating some of the Pokemon, and you should hopefully be getting some stuff.
Did you guys do you know if they ever updated the nearby?
They have
like,
not.
Thing on,
no.
They never did that thing. Like I remember, I thought they were saying they're gonna roll out a thing where it'd be like, oh, it'd show like what monument they're near or whatever, like what Pokestop they're near. Like,
I don't think they did.
That sucks because like I saw people like were getting an update. I was like, oh, they're gonna roll that out, and like that was a good idea, but that sucks, dude. That like the game is still broken. Then like, if it doesn't have that right, like,
no, you're fully, and that's why people got so angry about the when they shut down those third party like Pokemon finders.
It's like a workaround.
Because their game is broken. Somebody else found a way to do it, and they like no, we're not allowing that. And I guess now this isn't live yet, but if you are still playing Pokemon Go, which I haven't played it in months, but if you are still playing it, logging in daily will now give you extra experience and a Stardust. Which you can use. I guess you need the Stardust to evolve your you need candies too. What the hell do you use the Stardust for?
Making your Pokemon stronger.
Yes. To feed them that, yeah. So you'll get more of that if you log in daily.
Is this update live already?
No, this stuff isn't, but it was announced that they're bringing this stuff to it, so I fell off of that game hard because it's not much of a game. So,
right. My son is the only reason I've kept up with it.
Yeah,
I love that game to death. I have not played it in probably 2 months at least, but I could see me coming back on it like maybe next year when winter ends and like the weather starts getting nice again, being like, "Hey man, let's go out and like hunt some Pokemon," you know?
Yeah, I think they need to update it with like a new set of Pokemon and have the actual Pokemon that are out there be a little more random so that you could possibly come across like some more rare Pokemon and not make them impossible to catch. Like some of them are really tough. Regardless of whether you're throwing like great throws or not, or you feed them, what is it? Feed them berries and it's supposed to make it easier.
Yeah. And that doesn't even always work.
No. But, that's it for news, I think. Kind of a slow week. And next week we will have, Call of Duty. Jeff and I both will. Then it gets a little light, I think, for a little bit. I guess Dishonored comes out the week after that.
Pokemon. Yeah,
nope.
Oh, and Pokemon, yes, is the 18th.
The last game I'm buying this year.
Final Fantasy 15.
Final Fantasy 15 is after Thanksgiving, I think. I'm getting that, as is Fozzie and Jeff. Jeff's not getting it, but Don is probably getting it, and Pete is definitely getting it, so. Final Fantasy 15, and then there's The Last Guardian.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I'm sure anybody's getting that.
The last $60 retail game I am buying this year is arriving tomorrow, and that's Call of Duty. I have nothing else planned to buy.
Really?
I'm gonna get other. I'm sure I'll get like little VR games and shit like that or whatever. But
maybe some stuff on Black Friday.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Honestly, I'm really hoping that Skyrim goes on sale. I know
I want it for. I'll probably go. If it were 40 at Best Buy, I would do it.
Me too, dude. If it was 40, like I just can't justify buying it at 60. It's like, dude, I own it. Like I have it on 360.
Right.
So, and I would never play it again on 360 just now out of the blue. Like buying it would be the reason to do it. But like I just need that RPG fix. Like this year's not giving me that. Like it sucks, but I don't know. I guess like you can get mods and shit too though in this one. So
yeah, you can get the Macho Man Dragon one.
So yeah, like I don't know. I want it, but like I think it's kind of a pipe dream to believe that it's going to be on sale on Black Friday. Like it's so new. Like it just came out last week.
Remember last year Assassin's Creed came out around this time, and by Black Friday that was one of the deals for like $40, so
yeah, I guess 40 I probably would pull the trigger,